If you're a Christian today, at one point, someone's entire focus was on you. And it was all about you. And what a glorious day, Christian Sandfield, boom, reference that, never mind. That was for the youth, not for everybody. And what a glorious day it was when you realized that Jesus loves you. The day your life went from meaningless to meaningful, when you accepted the gift that of God's grace and saw that life is at its fullest when you are in service to the name above all names, to Jesus. At one point, it was all about you. It was about addressing your needs. It was about addressing your concerns, your worries. It was about teaching you. It was about leading you. And there's always going to be a part of your faith that it is about you. But once you meet Jesus, your perspective changes. And it's not totally about you anymore. Your importance isn't diminished. God's love for you doesn't fade. But knowing Jesus should change your perception of yourself. Knowing Jesus should change your perception of others. Knowing Jesus should change your perception of what is your role in this world. So maybe we should ask ourselves, what is our role towards others? What is our job? What are we becoming? Who are we becoming daily? So our text this morning is Ephesians 3, verse 7 through 9. So if you want to open up your Bibles, you can, or it'll be on the screen here. Paul writes, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery for which ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. And what I find most fascinating about Ephesians is that Paul's mission to Ephesus had such a profound impact on the surrounding area. There were 230 independent communities that surrounded Ephesus, and Ephesus was known as a business hub. So people would come in from all over the place and do business in Ephesus. And it was said that the gospel was being spread around so much that you couldn't enter the city without at least hearing the name Jesus. And so what would happen is people would come in, they'd hear the name Jesus, and then they'd take it out into their respective communities. And so the gospel at that time, because of Paul's mission there, spread like wildfire. But Paul wasn't the reason that people turned towards Jesus. Jesus was the reason that people turned toward Jesus. Paul was just a chosen servant. Paul could have been anybody. Paul could have been George, Paul could have been Angela. Paul was a servant of the gospel. Just as the greeters stand out in the foyers, passing out bulletins, telling people where to sit, where to go, Paul was chosen by God to point people to where Jesus was, to who Jesus was. Jesus wasn't Lord because Paul said he was. Jesus is Lord because Jesus is Lord. But it was through Paul's service to the gospel of Jesus Christ that people came to see Jesus. See, Paul's mission wasn't about himself. It was about Jesus. And it was about people. When someone asked Jesus, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" he replied, "Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself." Even with Paul, there was a time when a disciple ministered to him. There was a time when a disciple served Paul. So if you remember his conversion story on the road to Damascus, Paul met Jesus and he was struck blind, right? And the Lord called to a disciple named Ananias and said, "Go speak to this guy I'm bringing to you. His name is Paul from Tarsus. I want you to minister to him, and I want you to say that God has chosen him to be his instrument to proclaim the gospel to the Gentiles, to their kings, and all the people of Israel." And if I'm Ananias, I know who this guy is. Ananias says, he says, you are nuts. He said, I have heard about this man named Paul from Tarsus and all the harm that he has done to your holy people. And he was actually on his way here with authority to arrest all the people who follow you. So if I'm Ananias, I kind of have every right to want to stay clear of a person like Paul. Paul, as far as Ananias was concerned, was an enemy of Jesus. Did everything that Jesus said not to do. But God said, look, I'm not asking you to tell me why this guy doesn't deserve me. I'm telling you to serve him as I served you. So Ananias serves Paul, and Paul is filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul needed someone to step into his life and serve him and be the flesh and blood of Jesus. And because of that, Paul turned into Paul as we know him today. Because Ananias became a servant. Paul writes in our text, I became a servant. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ. The gospel is a message that people need to hear today. People need to hear that God loves them no matter what. All the time. No matter their past mistakes, no matter their current circumstances or what they may turn into, people need to know that God will love them regardless of that. And that is a message that we hold and that we carry. And we're called to be servants of that message, just as Paul was called to be a servant of that message. So, if we're thinking practically on what are some things that we can do to become a servant ourselves, or to be a better servant ourselves, you're in good luck because I have three things that we can try and that we can do. Number one, go out and meet people. Go out and meet people. About 4 months after I started seminary, a friend of mine and I were talking, and I hadn't known him that long, and he told me, he said, I have got to get out of here and meet people outside of the seminary. And I thought to myself, well, that's, yeah. Yeah, me too. People in here are horrible. I don't really want to talk to them either. But he wasn't actually talking about that. He continued on, I've got to make friends outside of the seminary if I'm going to learn how to be a minister. If I'm going to learn how to be a minister, I need to be around people who really don't care that I'm in seminary, who really don't care that I go to church. And that stuck with me for a while, up until now, and it will for later on. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with tax collectors and sinners, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. A few weeks ago, David Thomas taught us how to avoid, deny, and defend when a threat comes around our vicinity. And because of that training, I will never be able to look at a paper cutter the same. If you are curious about that, you can talk to Robbie Hefner. I'm not sure if he's in here. Oh, there he is. He'll tell you all about paper cutters and what you can do to defend yourself. But we as humans, we are capable of some pretty horrible things at times. I mean, we see it every day of all the things in the news that people have done, and some things are truly horrible. So I get being cautious around people. I get that. But as we say about some things, just because something looks scary doesn't mean that it is scary. I'm not saying that everybody needs to be walking around a bad part of town late at night by yourself with your wallet in hand and everything like that. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is when you're out and about, when you're running errands, getting lunch, whatever it is, ask someone what their name is and tell them what your name is. It's Lufkin. There's a good chance you're going to run into him again. get to know somebody, people outside of your family, outside of your friend group, outside of your socioeconomic class, outside your race, outside your whatever. God doesn't need you to fix them just by meeting them, but God does need someone to go out and meet them. So why not us? Why not you? The second thing that you can do, that we can do to become better servants, is to listen. Is to listen. I mean, how many times have y'all ever told someone, coming up to them, said, "Oh, I've been really going through this right now, and you know, it's just been a real hard time in my family here," and then all of a sudden you're sitting there listening to their problems, because everybody, we want to help fix people's problems. When someone tells us what they're going through, we want to give them all these wonderful words that will encourage them. But a lot of times people just need to be listened to. People need to be listened to. Next conversation you have, take stock of how many times you ask a question versus how often you talk about yourself or talk to someone. Ask questions. It's great. You give people a chance to tell their story. Solomon wrote in Proverbs, "Answering before listening is both stupid and rude." I thought that was well put. We live in a weird time where everyone has a voice through so many different mediums, but at the same time, it seems like no one really cares what someone else has to say. You know, I took some of the students to Super Summer a couple months ago, and the speaker there said, a lot of times when we go on mission trips, we go to fix a problem before we've even talked to somebody. He said, how can we know what problems they have if we've never even met them yet? For me, that stuck with me, and it told me, if you're interested in sharing Jesus with someone, we have to be willing to listen to their story first. Well, down in the valley a couple years ago, I was there with Greg Dotson, and he actually gave me a really good piece of advice. He said, a good helper is someone who can anticipate the needs of those who really know what's going on. A good helper, a good servant, listens and watches what is going on and anticipates needs. Maybe that's something that we can do. Listen and anticipate needs. God doesn't need you to drown out a person's worries with your wisdom, but God does need someone to listen to his people. Why not us? Why not you? Thirdly, if you want to become a servant, you have to say something. And you may be saying, but Dan, you just told us to keep quiet and to listen. Okay, first off, great listening skills. Thanks for the laugh. Second, going along with the verse I mentioned in Proverbs, after you've listened, you're allowed to answer. You're allowed to say something. But let's be honest, as Christians, one of our least favorite things to do is to share our faith, because it can be awkward, it can be uncomfortable, and worst of all, someone could really not want to hear it and roll their eyes at us. The audacity of them to do so. And if I'm being honest, one of my biggest fears is to be labeled as a corny Christian. I mean, everybody knows like a person that just always has a Bible verse or something for them, and it just doesn't seem authentic all the time. I think we had a neighbor in Alabama, Greta, maybe at one point. Not the Greta here. This is in Alabama. And I just remember every time she would come over, she'd just say, "The Lord has been talking to me, and I've just been praying for you, and just your family has been on my mind." And I'm sitting there going, who is this lady that is throwing all this Christian jargon at me? And a big fear of mine is being a corny Christian, but I think what I need to be more afraid of is being a cowardly Christian who doesn't say anything when I know I need to. As I said, if you're a proclaimer of Jesus, you carry with you a message that people have been waiting for. Like a gunman holding people hostage, past mistakes, shame, tragedy, sin, they hold us so far underneath their fist that people are just wishing someone would come up next to them and say, "We're free." People are waiting on that message. Everyone's always saying, oh, I wish the Lord would come back and fix this earth. Well, guess what? Jesus has come. He has redeemed these things, and we are proclaimers of that message. We have to say something. God doesn't need you to be their savior or sage of wisdom. But God does need someone to say something to his people. Why not you? Why not us? You know, the title I told Ashley to put on this bulletin was, I Became a Servant. But that's not talking about me. That's talking about Paul. That's what Paul said. I became a servant. Because as most people outside of this church know, what most of us are really bad at, if we're being honest, is being a servant. I'm not saying that to rag on anyone here by any means, or to downplay any efforts that we've had at serving the community or serving the people around us, but what I hear most personally outside of these walls from people who don't go to church is that they say this: I don't have a problem with God, I don't have a problem with the church, but I have a problem with Christians. To me, that's an indication that we are not being great servants all the time to those communities. But maybe you're a person of that community who has said at one point, the church has not been a great place because the people inside of it. If that is you, I would hope that you would not let me or anybody else stand in your way of pursuing God. Because really, what we need is we need people like you to tell your story, to tell your experience, and to reach people who have that same feeling. Because it's not just Lufkin, that's a thing of the United States, is people are not coming to church because they have a problem with the people inside of it. They feel like they're not welcome here. And that's the opposite of who Jesus is and who Jesus wants to be in his family. You know, Paul said, although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ. You don't have to be some eloquent speaker. You don't have to get 100 amens during a sermon. You know, God is typically really good at doing a whole lot with just a little. So maybe you've been trying to figure out what to do with your life. Maybe you've been planning on one day thinking about possibly getting back into the swing of things with your faith. Or maybe you've wanted to become a servant of God, but have always counted yourself as not worthy yet. Or maybe you're trying to find a church home. Why not you? Why not today? You know, I hope today, if God's been laying something on your heart, I hope that today you would make that decision, make those commitments, because there's no better day than today. I've heard a lot of people say, I don't know why I waited so long to push off meeting Jesus. So if you need to make that decision today, I'll be standing up here in front as we sing, but I'll pray for us first. Is that okay? Okay. God, thank you for the family that you have given us, the body that is known as the church. Lord, may we always be uplifting and encouraging people to the people around us. May we be servants of your gospel, Lord. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all the blessings that you give us. It's in Jesus' name we pray.